Good morning. I'd like to invite you, if you haven't already, to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3 this morning. For those of you that don't know, I don't get a chance to teach the Bible to adults very often. I'm usually with the young people, and that's awesome. I always get nervous. You may hear a break in my voice. I need to point this out right away. I may get nervous speaking to adults. I used to get really nervous, and then I realized someone told me one time that adults are just teenagers. They just have more wrinkles than the teenagers do. So that's what I tell myself when I'm standing up here. It helps me. But it's good to see you, and thank you for coming this morning. It's such a privilege to say. I've enjoyed singing this morning and just praising the Lord with you. Our Lord is so worthy to be praised, and we can go through so many reasons that we can think of as His children to praise Him, and just how worthy He is. He's our Creator. He is all powerful. There's nothing more powerful than He is. He loves us. So many things, and He's worthy to be sung to for sure. As I was just thinking about what to speak on, whenever Pastor Shipe asked me to speak today, there's one thing that has just been hitting me a lot, and where I prayed so much about. Just Lord, where in Your Word would You like us to study today? And I really believe that this is where He wants us to be this morning here in John chapter 3, because He really gives us here a big reason, if you need one. He gives us a big reason as to why He is so worthy to be praised. He has a desire for us. That Jesus reveals here in John chapter 3. He has a huge desire for us. God has a desire. God has many desires for us, and here is a huge one. And the desire is simply this. It's not difficult. It's simple. His desire is that all people would become part of His kingdom. That is His desire. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? That the God that created you, the God that created all things, His desire for each and every one of us is that we would all become part of His kingdom. Now, that's a reason to praise Him. Because whenever you really look at His creation, we really aren't a huge part of it. There are so many more bigger things out there than we are, so many more grand things than we are, and yet He pays attention to you and to me. And He desires so much, and we're going to read about this today. He desires so much that all of us become, that all of us will see and become part of His kingdom, the kingdom that He has. Now, whenever I say kingdom, what I mean by that is, I mean the realm of salvation. I mean the forgiveness of sins. I mean the life in heaven in His kingdom. Where he will dwell with us, and we will be His people, and He will be our God, and there will be no sin there, and there will be no death there, and He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes, lots of things. There's going to be no more night there. The streets are going to be paved with gold. That I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to running on them, because I'm just curious what that's going to be like. It's going to be great, and we will live forever in the light of the glory of God. And that's what He desires for all of us to be part of. And there's a story in the Bible that was read already this morning in John chapter 3 of a conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. And He explains to Nicodemus how Nicodemus can become part of the kingdom of God. And He not only explains it to Nicodemus, but He explains it, for it was recorded for us in Scripture, He explains it to all people, that if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, this is, and Jesus says, this is my desire for you. This is what I want for you. And if you, and if you will accept it, this is how it happens. This is how you become part of my kingdom. And so we're going to go through this conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, but we're only going to go through verses 1 through 7. We're going to look specifically at those verses. The conversation goes on for probably another, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 verses or so. But we're really going to focus in on what he says here in these first 7 verses. So let me just say this. As we get started, you may be sitting in here right now and you may think to yourself and absolutely be correct whenever you think, I am part of the kingdom of God already. And to that I will say, I am so glad, and I echo Jesus's own desire that I am so glad for that is true about you. As we look at some of these things, will you just let the scripture kind of come over you, and will you just allow it to, as you remember all these things that went into making you part of God's kingdom, let the joy of the Lord fill your heart if that is you this morning. And as you remember what Jesus has accomplished for you, and there may be some in here that maybe in your heart of hearts, if you're going to be really honest with yourself, maybe you would say, you know something, this is something that I've been wondering about for a while. And I don't, if I'm going to be completely honest, I don't know for sure if I am part of that kingdom. And I hope that you will let Jesus speak to you right now. And let what he says come over you. And as he explains how we can be part of the kingdom of God, Jesus explains it. And by the way, right, just as we get into this, this is only going to be worth anything to you if you believe that Jesus is who he said he was. And he is God and there is no other God. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to be the holy God, come in human flesh, the creator of all things. And this will mean something to you if you take that, if you take what he says as what he said, that he is God and there is no other. So with that being said, look down with me as we get started here in John chapter 3. And I'd like to just read it again, and then we'll jump in. Starting in verse 1, says, Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Pray with me quickly. Father, we come before you one more time. We ask for your help as we look at your word. May you give us understanding, we ask. It's in your name we pray. Amen. This is part, as we said, this is part of the conversation that Jesus had with this man Nicodemus. A couple of things that are just very, very helpful for us to know as we get into this is just a couple of things that are revealed here about this man named Nicodemus. Number one, mark this down. Number one, it says that he was a Pharisee. Very clearly there. Pharisees, let's just get this straight real quick. Pharisees were a group of people who, there are many things that can be said about them. There are many details that can be said about them. Let it suffice right now, just for sake of time, just to say this, that they were probably the most religious people of that time, and maybe arguably ever. Okay? And when I say religious, what I mean by that is the Pharisees lived their lives in such a way, trying to do good, trying to keep laws, trying to keep the law, trying to live their lives in a good such way that they were hoping that it would in the end gain them favor with God by the way they live. That's what I mean whenever I say religious. Okay? And there's many other things that can be said about the laws that the Pharisees had and whatnot. We won't get into that right now. But that was But that was Nicodemus. He was one of these Pharisees, okay, who was into living his life to be good and living in such a way, hoping that his good deeds would earn him favor with God. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee, so he was a very religious man, okay? Secondly, that we see is that he was a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says. This means that he was a politician of some sort. More than likely, we can't be dogmatic on this, but more than likely what this probably means is that he sat on the governing council of Israel, okay? He was probably a member of that council. So he was a very religious man. He was a politician in power at that time of some sort. Keep going. A little bit later, we didn't read this, but a little bit later, Jesus is going to look at him and call him the teacher of the Jews. Jesus doesn't address Nicodemus as a teacher, meaning one of many. He addresses him as the teacher of the Jews. What we can gather from that is that Nicodemus was more than likely a very well-educated man and probably very well-respected, probably not only amongst the people, but probably also amongst his peers. Whenever Nicodemus spoke, his peers probably perked their ears up. They wanted to hear what Nicodemus had to say. He was the teacher in Israel, Jesus says. Okay? So he's a very religious man. He's a ruling man. He is a well-educated, probably respected man. We can't be dogmatic on this either, but later on in the book of John, we're actually given a little hint, in chapter 19, I believe it is, that Nicodemus was probably also a wealthy man. We're given a little hint to that. So as we put all these things together, here is who Nicodemus is. Here's the picture that the Bible paints of Nicodemus. He is a ruling man in political power. He's a very religious man. He is someone who is probably well-educated, probably very well-respected, and probably very successful. That's the glimpses that the Bible, that the Scripture reveals to us about this man. If this guy was walking around today, if he was still living and was walking around, if I saw him, I would probably more than likely look at him and probably say something like this: there is a nice guy. There is a good guy who has his life together. He's and successful and whatnot. That's the kind of guy he is. I could very well see myself saying that about this fellow. Okay? So there's Nicodemus. There's just a picture of who this guy is. Now, the Bible says that he comes to Jesus when? He comes to Jesus when? At night. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Okay? I'm just making sure you're with me. There's been so much speculation over the years of why did he come at night. We honestly have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible says that he came at night. Maybe Jesus was so busy, he said, I got time after 8. That's all I got for you. I don't know why. But he comes at night for some reason, and he meets with Jesus. Now, pick up with me down here. He says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. And realize what he says. He immediately reveals really why he saw fit to come and meet with Jesus. Okay, remember, this guy is the teacher of the Jews, okay? Well-educated, well-respected. He's probably used to people coming to him, okay, for teaching and whatnot. And he decides that Jesus is worth going and meeting with. And we get a glimpse as to why. Look at what the Bible says. He says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus, first of all, he immediately reveals that he has a bit of respect for Jesus because he calls him Rabbi. Rabbi was an honorable way and a respectful way to address a teacher. Okay? So basically, he's like, Rabbi, someone that I respect, someone that I'm okay showing some honor to. And here's why I feel that way. I feel that way because I know, or the Bible says we know, so there were some other people who agreed with him on this. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Why? Because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So in other words, Nicodemus had either heard about the miracles that Jesus was doing, these unbelievable things that Jesus was capable of doing. He'd either heard about it or he had seen it with his own eyes. We don't know which. But at any rate, these miraculous things that Jesus was doing had convinced him that this guy is worth going to. Okay? This guy is worth meeting with because this guy is from God. Okay? So I have respect for that. I have respect for that. I believe that you're from God because nobody can do the things that you do unless God is with him. So that's how this conversation starts to unfold between Nicodemus and Jesus. And it's very telling, and it's almost comical how Jesus responds. Do you notice how Jesus responds here? Now, you ever have somebody respond to you in maybe somewhat of an awkward way? Like goes totally off subject. Has that happened to you recently? Do you deal with people like that? Maybe you have. Jesus doesn't even comment on what Nicodemus has just said. Nicodemus has just basically complimented him and admitted that he believes that he's from God because of what you can do. And Jesus doesn't comment on that one bit. He's not interested in talking about that, obviously. I believe, and I'd like to submit to you, that Jesus knows exactly who Nicodemus is because Jesus knows all things, because he's God. He knows exactly who Nicodemus is, and he knows exactly where this conversation needs to go. And so he doesn't back down from it at all. He jumps straight into it. Look at this. Verse 3, Jesus answered him. This is Jesus' answer right here. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus, I believe that you are from God because you can do these unbelievable miracles. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. That's kind of pointed. That's kind of in your face. Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, pay attention to what he says. Truly, truly, this is the truth, Nicodemus. This is the truth. This is what I have to share with you. You've come to meet with me. This is what you need to know. This is what I must share with you. This is my desire for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Take notice of what Jesus just revealed to Nicodemus. Jesus did not say, in order to be part of the kingdom of God, you have to go to church. He didn't say that you have to be baptized. He didn't say, he didn't comment on any of Nicodemus's accomplishments. He didn't comment on that you need to be successful. He didn't comment on you need to be well educated. He didn't comment on even that you need to be good, Nicodemus, although I know you're trying to be as a Pharisee. He didn't comment on any of that. He didn't say any of that. He said to be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again. That's it. He just revealed to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you are not yet part of the kingdom of God. You're this very religious man. You're this very successful man. You're this very well-educated man. But you are not, as of right now, part of the kingdom of God. This word is a Greek term, the word born again. That word again is a Greek term, and it means from above. What Jesus is revealing here is he says, Nicodemus, in order to be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again, and you must be born from above. That is where you must be born from if you want to be part of the kingdom of God. You must be born from above. Now notice Nicodemus is immediately confused about this. Look at what he says in verse 4. Follow along with me. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" In other words, Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you mean by this? This doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe some of you have thought that about Jesus before. Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't understand this whole idea of how to be part of your kingdom, that you have to be born again. What are you talking about? Maybe that's you right now. And that was Nicodemus, because look at what he says. He says, Nicodemus said to him, he's totally confused by what Jesus says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. He's on the page of physical birth. Okay? He's totally missing for a second what Jesus is saying. He's not talking about physical birth. But Nicodemus thinks he's talking about physical birth. We're all very acquainted with physical birth, are we not? That's happened to all of you. And I remember whenever it happened. I remember when it happened with all my kids. Parents, you remember when that happened with your kids? Is that embedded in your mind? Their physical birth? It was a little crazy. I remember most vividly my firstborn. I remember them all, but I remember most vividly my firstborn, Casey, who's sitting right over there. I was sleeping. Little did I know that part of my life was about to go out the window and never come back. I was sleeping and my wife woke me up, and you know, you're on it with the firstborn, right? At least I was. And then I was on it with the other ones too, but if I'm going to be honest, I was a little more on it with this one. And you know, she wakes me, hey, we got to go. And I leaped out of bed and I threw the suitcase and I threw my wife into the car, and we sped to the hospital. We got there and my little daughter was born, and she was alive and she was perfect. She was beautiful, still is. Look at her. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle. Have you ever noticed, and you can kind of maybe understand where Nicodemus is coming here maybe a little bit. Have you ever considered the amazing gift that your earthly life really is? I mean, honestly, you were born into this world. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. It was a gift. It was an absolute gift that none of us deserved, but that God gave to us. Why did He create me? Why did He create you? Why did He give us life? Because He loved us, and I don't know why, but He did. And that's why we got our earthly life. But Nicodemus is on this page. He's on this page still thinking about earthly life. And Jesus needs to correct him here. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus, I'm old now, okay? What classifies as old? I have no idea, and I'm not going to even try and define that. But he's saying, I'm an old man now. Are you telling me that in order to be part of the kingdom of God, I have to go back inside my mother and come out a second time? Is that what you're trying to tell me? And Jesus very lovingly gives him this correction. He says in verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, no. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am not saying that you need to be born again physically a second time, for that will not get you anywhere. What I am saying is that in order to be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born from above, or born of the Spirit, or born of God. That is how anyone becomes part of the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, this is what I desire for you. This is why I turned the conversation this way. This is my desire for you. And it's my desire for all of mankind, that everyone is born of God. Whenever you were born physically, you were born into your earthly family. In order to be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again from above into the family of God. Not your earthly family again. You must be born into God's family. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what He is telling Nicodemus. Now, this merits some questions from us. Born again. Born into the family of God. Why must I be born again? Jesus, why do I have to be born again? What's wrong with the way I am? I mean, God, didn't you create me? We just talked about you are the one who gave me this earthly life. Didn't you create me? Aren't you the one who loves me and created me just like I am? Is there something wrong with the way I am? Won't you accept me just the way I am? Now, I'm not trying to be harsh, okay? I'm not trying to sound mean or anything up here, but it's important that we look at what Scripture tells us. And the answer to that question is, won't God accept me just as I am here? The answer is no. The answer is no. Why? The Scripture is very, very clear about this. It's because of sin. Because of sin in all of us. Now, the Bible says, whenever the Bible uses that term sin, it means to miss the mark. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, the glory of God is the correct opinion of who He is. And He is perfect, and there is no sin in Him whatsoever. But you and I have missed that mark. Nicodemus, you have missed that mark. I have missed that mark. I have sinned, and as good as I try to be, I have sinned, I am a sinner, and I have fallen short of the glory of the perfection of God. Of the right opinion of who God is, I have fallen short of that because I have sinned. And we don't have to ask ourselves very many questions in order to realize that that is really true, do we? I mean, have you at any point in your life disobeyed your parents in some way or done something as an adult that was dishonoring to your parents? Have you stolen anything, even if it's really small? Have you lied ever to anybody in any way, as small as it might be? Have you ever gotten angry when you shouldn't have gotten angry? Have you ever become jealous and wanted something and were angry at somebody because of something that they had that you wanted? We all have, and the Bible calls that sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 20 says, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous or the sinners will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Nicodemus, you need to understand something, that you need to be born from above. As good as you have tried to be, and as good as you have tried to live your life in keeping God's laws and in keeping other laws and in trying your best to be as good a person as you can possibly be, that has not earned you one iota of stance before God. Not one. That has not done anything for you as far as it goes with God. Because why? Because you are a sinner and you have fallen short of the glory of God. You have missed that mark. Maybe some of you have struggled with that. Maybe you've struggled with that. You're not the only one who struggled with that. Of, can I be good enough? Can I do good enough for God to accept me? The answer, I'm not trying to be mean, the answer is no. Why? Because you have missed that mark. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, no, we can't. And so that is the state that we are in. Romans chapter 3, verse number 9 says, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin." Nicodemus, listen to me. The fact that you have been born into a Jewish family and are part of the family of Abraham, from which the Messiah was going to come, being part of that family gains you absolutely nothing in your standing before God. Gets you absolutely nothing. Whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile, that does not matter. That does not hold anything in God's eyes whatsoever. Maybe you've been struggling with this. Maybe you've thought for a while that it's the family that you've grown up in. Maybe you come from a wonderful family and you have parents who love the Lord and they've raised you in church and they're good people and they have a good reputation in the community, and you're thinking to yourself, hey, I'm part of this wonderful family. Maybe this will get me somewhere in my standing before God. God says, absolutely not. Jesus says, absolutely not. Nicodemus, doesn't matter what you were born into. It only matters, what you need to know is you are a sinner, and because of that, you must be born from above. You must be born again. Next question that would be on my mind as I hear all this is, okay, what if I don't get born again? I'm hearing this, but is this a must? God, will you force me to do this? Absolutely not. God has never forced anybody. This is not God's way. He has never forced anybody to become born again. Never. But we do know this. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages, or the payment, or the result of sin is death. There is a penalty to pay for our sin, and that penalty is death. Do you realize, and Nicodemus, you need to realize this, that there is a penalty that we all owe for falling short of the glory of God. And that penalty is death. Now, death in the Bible carries the idea of separation. Whenever you were born and whenever I was born, God created us with a body and a soul, the scripture teaches about. What you see up here is, what you see standing before you right now is not Aaron Huffman. Okay? What you see up here is the body, or the vehicle, maybe I should say, of Aaron Huffman that God gave me to get around while I live here in this world. That's what you see up here. Okay? I'm really looking forward to getting a new body someday. But the scripture teaches that whenever we die and we are all facing death, that our souls will be separated from our body. Your body, my body, will be buried one day, but your soul, my soul, the real me, the real you, is going to live forever and forever and forever somewhere. We will live forever somewhere. And the scripture is very, very clear that anyone who does not get born again, anyone who chooses to not be born again from above, will face a second death. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14, it says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." This is the penalty that we all face for falling short of the glory of God. There is a penalty to pay. And it is that we will spend anyone who never gets born again, anyone who never comes to Jesus and fulfills His desire that He has for all of mankind, anyone who rejects what He offers to them will spend eternity paying the penalty for their own sin in the second death in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to probably reveal my flawed humanity here for a second, but I want to be as honest as I can be. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a real lake of fire. I wish there wasn't. I wish there wasn't a lot of things that we deal with in this life. I wish there wasn't cancer. My wife just had a really good friend from Bible college have her husband just pass away from cancer. I wish we didn't have to deal with that. I wish there wasn't COVID-19. I had a really good friend that I went to college with just pass away from COVID-19 one year ago. There are a lot of things that I wish were not so, but ladies and gentlemen, we have to deal with facts. And the facts are these: that we are sinners, that we are going to die, we all face death, that we are all going to live forever somewhere. And there's only two places. There's only two choices that God gives us. There is a lake of fire where we pay forever for our sins, or there is the kingdom of God. There is only two choices. Those are the facts that we all must face. And Nicodemus, my desire is for you to be part of my kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, my desire for you is that you will be part of my kingdom. That is my desire. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4, it says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Did you know that's how God feels about you? And that's how God felt about Nicodemus. And so he said, so Jesus changed the subject, jumped straight to the point with Nicodemus and says, "You must be born again." I don't, your comments are nice and stuff. about how you believe I'm from God, how you believe that these miraculous works that I've done. I'm not interested in talking about that. I'm interested in talking about the desire I have for you, and that is that you be born again. And that's what Jesus wants to talk to us all about. You must be born again. So now I ask myself, as I face these realities that Jesus lays before us in his word of why must I be born again? What if I don't get born again? Okay, I understand that. I understand that because of falling short of the glory of God, I owe a sin debt that is impossible for me to pay other than going to the second death and paying for it forever and forever and forever. Is there another way that this can be taken care of? And Jesus says, and this is the good news, Jesus says, yes, there is. Yes, there is another way. Yes, there is another way. And that way is me. That way is me. It's revealed to us in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21. Christmas is almost here. How many of you, Christmas is your favorite holiday? It's my favorite holiday. Not for reasons that it should be, but it is my favorite holiday. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21, the Bible reveals this. This is an angel that comes to Joseph, who is going to be Jesus' earthly father. And he comes to him and talks to him about his wife Mary, who is going to be Jesus' earthly mother. And the angel says this, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." There is one reason, folks, and one reason only, that Jesus decided to come, to leave the glories of heaven and to come down here and to wrap himself in human flesh, the Bible says, and become one of us, still 100% God, yet 100% human being. There is one reason and one reason alone, and it was because of you and me and his desire for us to be part of his kingdom. And the only way for that to happen was for him to come and save us from the penalty of our sins. That's it. That is why he came. That is why he came. Do you know that? And if you know that, can you let it sweep over you that was his, that this is his deep desire for you? Let that sink in to you, children of God. This was his desire for you. When he created you, this was his desire for you. That you would spend forever with him in his kingdom, where he will dwell with you and you will dwell with him. And you will forever live in the light of his glorious light. That was his desire for you from day one of you. And Nicodemus, this is my desire for you. You must be born again. And Jesus came. And he was born. And the scriptures say, don't miss this, the scriptures say that he lived a perfect life. He never sinned one time. It says that he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned one time. He was totally perfect. And he gave up his life. Not to pay for his sins, for he had no sins to pay for, but to pay for your sins and for my sins. Because we had fallen short of the glory of God. We have a payment that must be paid because of that. There's only one way we can pay it, and that is to go to the lake of fire forever and pay for them there. Jesus says, no. I will pay for them. And he lived a perfect life. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin, the payment of sin is death." Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And he died for you and for me and for Nicodemus. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And he rose again for you. He rose again for me. He's going to rise again for Nicodemus. And through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus, because his death and resurrection totally 100% paid the penalty for yours and my sins, he now offers to you and me the free gift of being born again into his family. Being born again is the free gift of God. that he makes available to everyone, having our sins forgiven and given eternal life with him in his kingdom. That's what he offers this. That's what he offers that. So maybe you're asking right now, okay, maybe joy is just flooding over you right now because you do know the Lord as your Savior. But maybe you're asking yourself right now, wow, so this is all that went into this. And it was all for me. It was all for me. He didn't do any of it for himself. It was all for me. And it was all for the entire human race, including Nicodemus. And you say, okay, so he offers me this free gift. I want to receive this free gift. How do I receive this free gift? How do I receive it? Jesus offers me this free gift. I want to take it. How do I take it? The scripture reveals to us exactly how that is done. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, listen to me closely, says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now please listen closely. Scripture says, Scripture reveals that in order to receive the free gift of being born again into the family of God, we must repent. Now, all of this has to do with your heart. Receiving the free gift of God has everything to do with your heart. And the Scripture says that we must repent. Repent carries this idea in the Scripture. It carries the idea of to change your heart and mind and turn around. And it also carries the idea of having remorse, of realizing that I was wrong, okay? Realizing that I'm wrong, and carries the idea of a change of heart, a change of mind in an individual. Here's the deal. Maybe you've been trusting in that you got baptized at some point in your life, and your baptism is going to give you some kind of favor with God. God says, repent, change your heart, change your mind, turn around, say, no, that's wrong. I've been wrong about that. I'm going to change my mind. I change my heart. He says that is what repentance is. You turn around because of your change of heart. Maybe you've been thinking, like Nicodemus was thinking, that if I do enough good stuff, if I just do enough good stuff, that will earn me some kind of standing with God. You've been walking that way. And Jesus says, no, repent, change your heart, change your mind. You turn and you walk the other way. That I put no confidence in that whatsoever. That's repentance. I change my mind and I turn and I go the other way. Maybe you've just thought to yourself, honestly, like I did for a very long time, that I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. This was me, folks. There's nothing wrong with me. I didn't really think about sin. I didn't really think about anything. I just thought, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was going that way. And then Jesus revealed to me, no, you're not fine. You're a sinner. You're not fine. You've fallen short of my glory. And that's what my repentance was all about. Saying, I realize I'm not fine. I realize I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of the perfection and the glory of God. Change my heart. Turn around. Go the other way. That's what repentance is. So he says, repent. He says, repent. And then he says, and believe. And believe. Look down in John chapter 3. We're going to go towards the end of the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. Look in verses 14. And this is the famous passage that most of you have memorized. Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He revealed this in John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. So repent and believe. Transfer everything that you have put your faith in, that you've been trusting in to give you good standing with God, transfer all of that to the one who came and gave himself for you, Jesus. That's what it is to believe. It kind of carries this idea. Listen, we're almost done. It kind of carries this idea. How many of you have ever been on a high ropes course? Have you been on a high ropes course? You can raise your hand high. There's nothing sinful about it, okay? I've been on a high ropes course. And if you're on a high ropes course, see if you agree with this. There's one or two on every high ropes course, I think, that you go on. You're totally tied in, okay? Like, you cannot fall, okay? Because you are totally tied in with a safety rope. So you're 50 feet in the air at least, but you're supposed to walk these tight ropes out and overcome obstacles while you're up there and stuff. And you're tied in so that if you fall, you will not die. The safety rope will catch you, okay? But even though there's that safety rope there, there's always a couple of people that do not trust in the safety rope. Have you ever seen that? Let me try and give you them. Like, it's people that, okay, like, they step out, and you ask them, do you believe in the safety rope? They'll say, yes, I do. But they don't, because they go to step out, and instead of just letting their arms go, they cannot help but grab onto their safety rope. And so they're like, hey, do you believe that the safety rope will keep you? Oh, yeah, I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And they're going out, and they're keeping one foot back here, like on the platform and stuff. You've seen these people. I was one of them. And the idea here of belief and of transferring trust and placing your faith and believing wholeheartedly in Jesus, that what he did was totally paid your penalty, carries that idea. It carries the idea of you put, just like in the high ropes course, it carries the idea of you put all of your weight there. All of your weight. You don't hang on to anything else. You don't hold on to your baptism. You don't hold on to how many times you've gone to church. You don't hold on to I'm trying to be a good person. You don't hold on to any of that. You put your total weight. You step out in faith and you put your whole weight on Jesus and on Jesus alone and what he did for you to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. Nicodemus, this is what it is to be born again. This is what it is to be born again. To be born into my family, to anyone who received me and who believed in my name, who believes in my name, I give the power to become children of God and born again into my family. You say, there's one last thing to receiving this free gift. It's very simple. Just ask. Just ask. Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Jesus says, this is my desire for you. Nicodemus, this is what I desire for you. This is what I desire for the entire human race. That nobody would go to the second death and pay for their sins forever, but that everyone would repent and believe in me and ask for this free gift, and I will give it to them. Will you give this to me? Yes, I will. That's it. That's it. God promises if we repent and believe from our heart on the Lord Jesus and personally ask him to forgive us, he will immediately do it, and you will be born again into the family of God and have eternal life. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but right before I do, I just want to just encourage all of you who are truly children of God, and you know you are. Would you think about this? Would you not let this be a once in a while thing that you think about? That Jesus, that the desire of Jesus is for you to be part of his kingdom. His desire was for you whenever he came to this earth to pay the penalty for your sin. It was so that you could be part of his kingdom and so you could dwell with him and live with him forever in his kingdom. Don't let the joy of that float away. But now, as the instruments play just here for a moment, I want to just to give an opportunity. Maybe somebody, or maybe there's a couple, that the whole time we've been talking about this and studying God's Word together this morning, maybe you were thinking at one point or another during our time together, I don't think that I am part of the kingdom of God right now, but I would like to be. I'd like to give you just an opportunity to respond to what God is telling you in your heart. There's a couple of counselors that are ready to sit down with you and open the Word, open God's Word, and walk through with you how you can become part of the kingdom of God, become God's child. And if you would like to do that right now, you can, and I'd like to give you that opportunity. So just as the instruments play, I'm just going to be here at the front just for a moment, and if you'd like to, would you please come forward? Let me just say this. Maybe there's somebody in here. Maybe there's a couple of people in here that would like to talk to someone after in private, and you can absolutely do that. And you're welcome to pull me or somebody else aside to speak with you as well. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for what your Word teaches us. Thank you that you love us the way that you do. Thank you that you for your great desire to make us part of your kingdom, even though we are a lowly part of your creation and sinners on top of that. Father, thank you for your work on our behalf. We love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.